slow start, but that 74-yard touchdown run ends up with another 100-yard game, 117 yards on 15 attempts.
It gives them a little more, you know, balance in that backfield, so they have a couple guys back there.
There's the snap. Another handoff to Sifo, breaks a tackle, gets to the 35, kicks it outside again, and brought down at the 38-yard line on what will be the final play of the game. So the Merrill Blue Jays win for the fourth consecutive week as they knock off the Wausau East Lumberjacks by a score of 31-14. We will take a timeout, come back, look at the numbers, and wrap things up here from Jay Stadium in Merrill. 31-14 Merrill. This is high school football on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
What's your idea of fall fun? Maybe it's hitting the trails on a new ATV. Then it's time to call CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. Or if you're thinking of a UTV for hauling wood or hunting, or maybe just because it would make the tasks around your property so much easier, it's time to call CCU. ATVs, UTVs, utility tractors, and their attachments for care of your property. Whether you need it for fun or to get the job done, Clover Belt Credit Union is here to help with the great rate financing you want. What are you waiting for? Life's too short and winter's too long. Thinking about a motorhome or maybe a snowplow for your ATV or utility tractor? Call CCU for great rate financing. And if you're thinking motorcycle, Clover Belt Credit Union has the financing you need for the bike you want. Call or apply online at ccuwausau.com. Check it out. For vehicle loans, for mortgages, for financing fall fun, call Clover Belt Credit Union. That's CCU. Local lenders lending local money, keeping our community strong.
Hi, this is Mark Craig. Come visit Compass Properties 3rd Street Lifestyle Center. Support locally owned businesses in downtown Wausau. The Pinery, The Chocolate Cafe, Forward Beverage, Polito's Pizza, Lemongrass, Chow, Jimmy John's, Isaac's, Magnolia Soap and Bath, Modern Gents, Campbell Haynes Menswear, Tanya's Bridal, Asian Massage, Reflexology Center, and listen to 98.9 Bull Falls Radio. Shop local at the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in beautiful downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Thanks to Wisconsin Valley Flag Football for their support of football broadcasts on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a league for 3rd through 6th graders in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a fast-paced 5-on-5 league with small teams so everyone is in on the action. For more information on Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, go to their Facebook page or their website at wivalleyflagfb.com. That's wivalleyflagfb.com.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services. Whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic designer mailing, they print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small. So give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
Since 1981, Lotno's has been Wausau's favorite sports bar. Grab a bit of Wausau's past while you're watching your favorite sports teams at their historic turn-of-the-century establishment. Lotno's is the perfect place to catch all the sports action on their 15 enormous flat-screen TVs, enjoy a night on the town with friends, or have a celebration in their private party room, a great place for birthdays, anniversaries, clubs, or meetings. Lotno's, Wausau's oldest and finest sports bar, 3rd Street, Wausau.
Holmes along with Paul Micklick back from our Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth at Jay Stadium in Merrill, where the Merrill Blue Jays improved to 5-2 overall. They are 4-1 in the Great Northern Conference, still in a tie for first place in the league. They knock off the Wausau East Lumberjacks, who are now 2-5 overall and 1-4 in the conference by a score of 31-14. Looking at the stats, rushing the football for Wausau East, Ian Stahl had 15 carries, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Cash Ryan Seafelt had 10 carries for 69 yards. Cam Rye had 33 yards on the 7 attempts. Caden Meverden had 1 attempt for 1 yard. Cam Rye passing was 5 of 15 for 90 yards, a touchdown, and 2 interceptions. Henry Moss had 4 catches for 83 yards. Aiden Kildee had 1 grab for 7 yards. 220 yards on the ground, 90 through the air, 310 yards of total offense for Wausau East. For Merrill, 30 rushes, 173 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Kanan Yonke. Cole Rudai had 12 carries for 82 yards. Aiden Drake, 3 carries for 8 yards. Noah Klug, 1 carry for 8 yards. Keelan Allen, 1 carry for negative 5 yards. Cole Rudai was 4 of 8 passing for 61 yards, a touchdown, and 2 interceptions. 2 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown for Keelan Allen. 1 catch for 5 yards for Jaden Chase, and Noah Klug had 1 catch for 2 yards. 266 yards on the ground, 61 through the air, 327 yards of total offense today for the Merrill Blue Jays. Looking at the scoring, Merrill got on the board first late in the second quarter, 52 seconds left in the second quarter. It was a 69-yard touchdown pass from Cole Rudai to Keelan Allen. Extra point was good. It was 7-0. Merrill, that would be the score at the end of the first half. It stayed that way until 2:10 remained in the third quarter. A 22-yard field goal by Ty Schuett made it 10-0, and that would be the score at the end of three. But then we saw quite a bit of scoring in the fourth quarter. We had 2 touchdowns for East and 3 touchdowns for Merrill. A 35-yard interception return for a touchdown by Keelan Allen with 10:49 to go in the fourth made it 17-0. Then East got a 74-yard touchdown run by Ian Stahl with 10:10 to go in the fourth to make it 17-7. Merrill would get a 4-yard touchdown run by Kanan Yonke with 5:50 to go in the game to make it 24-7. East had a 30-yard touchdown pass from Cam Rye to Henry Moss with 4:40 to go to make it 24-14. And then with 16 seconds to go, a 2-yard touchdown run by Yonke, 31-14, and that is the final score. Paul Micklegg, interesting game. I mean, it did not feel like a 31-14 game, to be honest with you, all that scoring in the fourth quarter. But Merrill was able just to grind. And I think that was probably the biggest thing. They grinded East down, and it kind of caught up in the fourth quarter.
Yep, their run game, it took a little time. It took a little time because really they had one play in that first half for that score. It was that pass play, but in the second half it took their toll on them. And Merrill's got a real nice team here. They have got some big games coming up here against Tomahawk and Rhinelander, but they definitely have a nice team. And they win those next two games, they're probably sitting there thinking that they have a home game in that first round. So the next couple games for them is huge. And for East, saw some good things, and I think you got things that you can improve on. They got a lot of young guys out there. They got a sophomore quarterback. At the end of the game, they had a sophomore right tackle I saw. I mean, for a school that size to have that many sophomores out there, they had quite a few of them being playing in key spots. It's good learning experience, and now they got to go win the last two games. I mean, that's kind of how this goes.
And it's set up. I mean, you go into a game, you want to feel like, hey, if we play well, we have a good shot of winning. I think that's what they can feel like going into Tom Field both next week and the following week against Lakeland and Antigo. Nothing's guaranteed, but if you go out there and play well, you have to feel pretty good, an opportunity to put yourself in a position to be in the mix for a playoff berth.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for the difference between the Mosny game that I was with you at and this game is that game, it felt like in the second half they didn't have that the punch back. And today I thought they did a real good job of punching back and staying toe-to-toe with them. and they just ran out of gas. So it sets them up for next week and try to get this next one. And that's the game that you got to worry about, and not worry about the Antigo game, but you got to get Lakeland, because at one time Lakeland was the team in the conference, and
yeah,
they've kind of hit a couple bumps here in the road. So this is definitely a game, homecoming game next week. Exciting time, anytime you can have that.
It's not homecoming.
Oh, it's not homecoming? I thought you said that to me.
No, I did not say that to
you. Oh.
They actually have their homecoming the following week against Antigo. I think it has something to do. I don't think that the Wausau School District wants to have two homecomings the same week, because West has their homecoming next week.
Oh, on Friday.
Yeah, so I think that's the reason. The reason they're playing Saturday is because of Tom Field.
Because of Tom Field.
Yeah, so I think the homecoming is actually in week 9, which is kind of unusual.
Or was East's homecoming last weekend?
No.
No? Oh, okay. They just happened to play both, no. And that's why.
Because Ian Mashey mentioned during the interview, we were talking. I don't know if it was in the year after the interview, but we were asking about homecoming. He said it was against Antigo. So.
Oh, okay. So. A little later in the year.
Yep.
On their, the latest it can be. So that's but whatever the case might be, I don't know how we got off a homecoming thing. You play next Saturday. You got a week to heal.
Give information, all information.
Well, you got a week to heal, and you know, so you still stay on the same schedule, which is a good thing, because you just did it this week, and now you can stay on it for next week, and then hopefully you get that W, and then you got a short week against Antigo, but that's okay. It should be a game.
You get
the
week 9, and you have a lot to play for. It doesn't matter when, because you'll have the juice.
Yeah, and you want to. And we were talking about us, you know, saying, hey, play if it's a storm or whatever. One time we played from Friday to mm-hmm. Thursday, and at that point in time, sometimes you're getting ready to play. You just want to play games. You get a little bored with practice.
You're
and,
right.
And so it'll be good for them. But bottom line is they got to go get next week's game. And I think they got a lot of things they can go off this game.
Well, it was a fun Saturday afternoon.
Yes, it was definitely an enjoyable afternoon watching two good football teams.
And best of luck your game next week. And, of course, next week, again, another triple header of high school football with 98.9 WXCO. On Friday night, two games with Wausau West hosting Eau Claire Memorial at Tom Field. It is homecoming for the Warriors. 6:35 airtime, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, Newman Catholic. Taking on the road to Tri-County. And big one.
Big one
for the Newman Cardinals and a good Tri-County team. That game will be heard live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.fm online. Again, at WXCO, at WXCO.fm, Sports 2 stream, and the Civic Media app. And that game will also air on a tape delay basis on Friday night after the Wausau West game. And then next Saturday, it will be Wausau East against Lakeland, 11:35 airtime, 12 o'clock kickoff, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, from our Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth at Jay Stadium in Merrill, the final score, Merrill 31, Wausau East 14. Thanks for joining us for high school football with the Wausau East Lumberjacks on 98.9 WXCO. This has been Wausau East High School Football on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau East Football has been brought to you by Grand Ave Art Factory, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Sun Printing, Lobnose Sports Bar, Compass Properties, The Mill Yard, and Northland Painting and Coatings. Thanks for joining us for Wausau East High School Football on 98.9 WXCO.
In West Allis, or if it's in Pewaukee, or if it's in my little tiny segment of Milwaukee, wherever we are, I want to know what's on their mind. And there's a couple of things that I keep hearing from the folks I'm talking to. And I'm going to preface this by saying, I do not always agree with James Carbo, but he was right when he said, it's the economy, stupid. Mm. People are really feeling the economic pressure right now. And there's a couple layers to that. So from a personal finance perspective, folks are really feeling the pinch in terms of healthcare, childcare, housing. making sure that they can actually make their budget work and provide their basic needs. And then on another level, when we look at the activities happening in Madison, we have all these what we call unfunded mandates. So I'm going to tell a community they have to do a certain thing, but I'm not going to give them any money to do it.
And just to be clear, I want people to understand what this is, because it is a recurring problem in basically every single community in the state. It doesn't matter if you're a red or blue jurisdiction. When we say unfunded mandate, what we mean is that the state government has enacted some law that requires a local government to provide some service or take some action, but they provide no funding when they put that requirement in place. Hence the term unfunded. They don't provide funding, but they demand, they tell you it's in law, you must do X, Y, and Z. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of these things across the state. It's why you've seen local governments in such a fiscal pinch. I'm so sorry to butt in there, but it's such an important thing, and it's happening all over, Sarah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my opponent, the incumbent in the seat, voted against the budget, and his reasoning was it didn't cut enough spending. I would have also voted against that budget because it didn't fully fund our public schools. It didn't continue to support our communities. So it's kind of funny because we both would have been opposed, but for totally different reasons. So that's one, economy. Another thing that people are still worried about, and it's not quite as intense as it was in previous years, but reproductive freedom, getting that put into our law clearly, permanently, without loopholes, really defining that. And the other thing, especially with the younger folks that I hear a lot of concern about, is environmental issues. So we're talking green energy, we're talking renewable resources, and there's also a healthcare aspect to that. And my youngest just did a project this year about sustainable agriculture, and it's amazing. There's all sorts of ways that we can make it work. We just have to all have a plan and stick to it. So those are the big three.
Yeah, when I think about natural resources and resource stewardship, right, I tend to sort of try to get away from like climate because people lose their minds. But everybody in Wisconsin, like everybody spends time outside. We know that tourism is a huge part of our state's economy, and agriculture and manufacturing. So I talk about it in terms of like resource management, resource stewardship. And to me, this is, and what I hear in your answer in part, Sarah, about these environmental issues, is that it is kind of an all of the above approach. We're not going to get away from fossil fuels immediately. That's not what works. It's unreasonable. There's AI data centers. There's so much happening. But looking critically at the impacts, deciding how we take an all of the above approach and not sticking our heads in the ground like the Trump administration has done by basically telling EPA scientists you can't do science. No more sciencing in the EPA anymore, people.
Right.
I mean, it's bananas.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have to be an EPA scientist to know that if you don't farm and use sustainable agriculture, you're going to have runoff of that really rich topsoil. Like you can see that without having a PhD or being a climate scientist.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're joined this half hour for this Wednesday's installment of Broad Appeal by Sarah Harrison. She is the candidate for state Senate in 2026 in District 5. Tell us what are the geographic bounds of District 5? It's a big old district.
It is. It is indeed. So we have all of Pewaukee, all of Brookfield, all of Elm Grove, a little tiny slice of Waukesha, most of Wauwatosa, most of West Allis, and then a little tiny slice of Milwaukee. So it's kind of like a little patchwork. We got a little quilt going on there. And I have run, like I said, twice in the western side of the district, in District 15 for the Assembly. And that is where we have a lot of opportunity because Waukesha County was one of four counties to move further blue last fall. So we really have to be out there talking to the people, getting them to the polls. And there's a real opportunity to do that here.
I am so excited for this race in particular, Sarah. I hope you're on our airwaves on this program frequently as we move into 2026 because it is highly winnable. And I think it is an incredible microcosm for the entire state, right? Maybe as goes District 5, so goes Wisconsin. We're going to keep this great discussion going. We're going to talk about Sarah, the mom as well as the candidate and business owner when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Our next segment's going to be Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Pete is joined by Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogue for some trivia fun and talks about what's going on around our great state this fall. Tune in.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down this Tuesday night show here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I am Pete Schwabe, Conrad Krieger working the board. I just want to reiterate, folks, that those of you, we talked about this earlier in the show, if you text in, a lot of people listen to the rebroadcast from 4 to 6 a.m. if they're out on the road or whatever. That does not qualify you for the text to win contest, unfortunately. So you got to find a way, if you can, to text us between 7 and 8, and that will make sure you qualify for the daily prizes and the grand prize as well. And there you go. So we have a couple more minutes here with our current guest, Mr. Logan Rogge. He is the Senior Communications Specialist for Travel Wisconsin. He just gave me a quiz again. I think I did better on the quiz this time, Logan. I think I only got 1 out of 5 last time.
Yeah, I was impressed, Pete. I think you've been studying up.
And had I followed my instincts, it might have been 3.5 out of 5. So I feel like every time you're here, I'm going to make slow incremental progress. Logan Rogge from Travel Wisconsin, let's finish up. Hey, first of all, I want to ask you, I don't see a lot of Marinette, Wisconsin on the Travel Wisconsin website. What can I do? How can I go to bat for the town in which I live?
Well, Marinette County, fantastic destination.
Yes.
I think you just got to search a little harder, Pete, because
okay.
We love Marinette. You know, you're going to find information on the Marinette Waterfall Tours, maybe you're rafting at Cochere's up I'm blanking on the name of the river, but
Menominee.
There's certainly plenty of ways to,
yeah,
or Peshtigo. Yep. Certainly plenty of ways to plan a trip to Marinette with the help of travelwisconsin.com. But, you know, I know they have some great local resources available to folks too.
They do. And it's a great, especially in fall, the colors up there in Marinette County are beautiful, as they are in Oconee County as well in Northeast Wisconsin. But I have to say, I'm just kind of giving you a hard time because I am the world's most notorious inside guy anyway, but I love the fall colors out my picture windows.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to all the inside tips the first time I get up to Marinette, Pete.
I'll give you the inside guy tour of fall. Yeah. I think it could be really cool. All right. So before we let you go, Logan, let's talk about this Nightlights thing. Looks really cool. Tell us about Nightlights.
So, yeah, I thought this was appropriate topic for a show like yours. You know, fall days get darker earlier. Those temperatures are cooler, and you're going to find these really cool nighttime artful like light shows throughout the state. So there's a few I'd like to highlight. One's in Oshkosh. It's at the Payne Art Center and Gardens, and it's called The Nature of Light. Have you heard of this yet?
No, I have not.
So they put on their first display back in 2022, and it attracted more than 50,000 visitors to this historic estate in Oshkosh. Wow. And they're returning this year with the second incarnation of The Nature of Light. It opened to the public in August, and it runs each night through October 26th. And it's these spectacular showcases of illuminated sculptures and environments inside and outside the pane. They have light dancers that are putting on circus style performances to enhance the viewing experience. Definitely one to check out.
That's fantastic.
Another quick one in Madison, that's Gleam. It's an annual exhibition at the Ulbrich Botanical Gardens. It's been wowing people for a decade. It's these large-scale light installations that are created by local, regional, and international designers. So you can stroll the outdoor 16-acre garden and inside the conservancy to see this destination literally in a new light. Book the ticket soon, though. Gleam runs Wednesdays through Saturdays until October 25th.
I have not heard of that one. That's kind of cool. Real quick, we've got about a minute left, Logan. What about Fall Farm Fun?
Yeah, there's plenty of options to choose from. If you're in the Lincoln County area, I'd highly suggest checking out Helene's Hilltop Orchard. That's in Merrill. They got a big U-Pick apple operation there. Oh. They have, you know, a bakery. You know, you can get pastries, bread, their signature pies. Another great idea is folks in southern Wisconsin, they'll want to travel to Janesville for Skelly's Farm Market. Particularly for their corn maze, they have a escape room style corn maze that
love it.
Integrates clues and like solving puzzles to navigate your way through the maze, where you'll actually end by unlocking a door and solving this mystery. Those are two great destinations to check out this fall.
The great thing about a corn maze is if you never get out, you won't starve to death because you've got food.
Some people maybe like a little more variety in their diet, but I get the logic. Yeah.
Just I'm saying for legal purposes, it helps.
Yeah.
Hey, this is all great stuff. You must love your gig, buddy. So much fun talking about the great things and the beauty in our state, and you do it really well. Thank you, as always, for your time.
It was a pleasure to be on, Pete. Thanks all for having me.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. That's Logan Rogge. Check out Travel Wisconsin, the website. There's tons more information about really cool stuff happening in our state all over the next what is fall? 3 months, Conrad?
That yeah. Sound about right? And then it's the, you know.
Whew, and it's brutal. Yeah. You know, when I become the biggest football fan is when there's snow on the ground. I just don't want to go outside.
I mean, yeah, because it's right there in front of you, and you're like, all right.
That's when I get serious about my sports fandom. I'd like to thank Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Logan Rogge and you for all of your texts and calls. It's been great fun here. Good luck with the contest, everybody. Tomorrow night, who do we have, Conrad? We've got...
Well, we got Rich LoCascio.
Oh, we got the wrestling.
Their wrestling announcer.
Wrestling announcer Rich LoCascio.
Record producer and filmmaker Wendy Schneider and Civic Media's own David Grant telling us how you can take over the radio for a day. It's going to be a fun show. Be sure and be back here. Happy birthday once again to Bruce Springsteen. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration plans to federalize 300 members of the Illinois National Guard, according to Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. He calls the move absolutely outrageous and un-American. It comes as we learned federal agents shot a woman they say boxed in authorities with a car in Chicago. WBBM's Brandon Eisen on what the Department of Homeland Security is saying.
The DHS spokesperson writing in a statement that the woman had self-transported to a nearby hospital.
There have been immigration and anti-US protests nationwide, including one in Los Angeles.
Together, united, we will defend our families and our country.
Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem on a new video statement from Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who says he hopes to announce the release of all hostages from Gaza in the coming days.
He said that in the first stage, all of the hostages will be released and the army will deploy to positions that allow it to supervise Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Brewers bury the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3. The Cubs' Michael Busch led off with a solo home run shot. Milwaukee responded with a six-run rally in the bottom of the first and never looked back. Freddie Peralta lasted until midway through the sixth with 95 pitches, giving up two solo home run shots. His nine strikeouts ties a Brewers team record for most strikeouts in a playoff game since Don Sutton and two others. Game two, Monday night. Just after 8 o'clock, Quinn Priester set to get the start. College football, the Badgers made a change at quarterback, starting Hunter Simmons. They scored on the opening drive, but that was about it as Wisconsin lost at Michigan today, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
That's tough. I don't care on either side of the ball. I don't know if they had a 13-play drive, you know, and I know we did on the first series, but we have to be able to find ways. The difference in a ball game is some big plays.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers. At this point, the college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids, too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and warm tonight, a low in the low 60s. Sunshine and windy tomorrow, a high in the low 80s, chance of rain tomorrow night into Monday. Much cooler next week. Highs in the 60s, although that's average for this time of year. It's 82 right now.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat talks with Jill Underley, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction, who talks about the annual State of Education remark she recently delivered at the state capitol. Underley explains how, under the Trump administration, the federal government has become the biggest bully in our classrooms.
Welcome back. A reminder that our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest is going on this hour. And the key word for this hour is morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, like the morning part of the day. Text morning using the Civic Media app before 8 a.m. and you will be in the running for a daily prize, which is $200 and a gold-plated chain, see, green and gold. And also in the running, every entry is in the running for the grand prize, which includes tickets to a Green Bay versus Minnesota game in Green Bay, playing a little football in the month of November, and a gas card to get you there. Again, details at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.com. But morning is the keyword to text before 8 o'clock. And then your next chance to win, and there's 7 chances every day, your next chance is 9 a.m. hour on Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Time for our weekly homeroom segment where we talk about public education, opportunities and threats. And the threats are out there, but there are people who are willing to lead and call them out. And one of those folks is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, who joins us this morning in the wake of her annual State of Education address delivered last week. Well, Jill Underley, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you too, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. It's so nice to have you here today. I mean, you've seen the headlines in the coverage of your remarks. And so we're going to start there. I mean, there are definitely issues that are internal to education in Wisconsin, but there's some real external pressure, and it's reflected in headlines that had you taking note that the biggest schoolyard bully that Wisconsin schools face right now is our own federal government, is the Trump administration. It's a, you know, it's a very assertive thing to say. Tell folks why that was a central part of your remarks.
Yeah, well, so the overall message from the State of Education address is that Wisconsin public education is a living story. It's written daily by students, educators, and communities. The themes in the State of Education were about belonging, love, community, pride in our communities. And what we're seeing right now is that the federal government is really trying to destroy that, right? They're taking away funding for teachers. They're taking away funding for special education students. The one that was in the headlines was students who are deafblind. They have threatened funding for school nutrition, programs in our schools. And so it's just really, they are the ones that are really causing a lot of chaos, I think, and uncertainty in our schools. Schools are wondering, are they going to get this money? And at the Department of Public Instruction, we're left to navigate that and stand up, you know, for our school districts, which is what we'll do anyway. But the federal government is really inserting themselves into the everyday operations of our schools and really threatening the good work that our schools are doing.
Especially for a group that says that all the time that they're looking to give education back to the states, they sure seem to find ways to continue to micromanage or to interfere. And you touched on one of them that really got my attention yesterday, as Up North News reporter Selena Heller was working on this story about how under Trump, the U.S. Department of Education is canceling funding that would go toward the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And Why is it being endangered like this? Because it falls under Donald Trump's definition of DEI, that you're singling out a group for help. In this case, children who are deaf and blind. Talk more about the program and its value, as well as the assertion that there's something divisive apparently about this.
Well, that's just it. It's just so arbitrary. I think, you know, when they were going through these programs, they were just doing a find and search, you know, in the grants for anything that mentioned diversity or inclusion or equity. And the deaf-blind community, I mean, it's a very specific population, very vulnerable population. Very specialized when it comes to instruction. And when you look at special needs or you look at the deafblind community, you know, as an example, I mean, what we do in public education is we try to ensure that every human has an opportunity to be included and belong in their communities. And so we provide specialized training. We provide, you know, this grant money provides specialized instruction, but also training for the teachers, materials, I mean, Braille. You know, so it's really just disheartening, and rather it's just cruel, to be honest, that they're just kind of, that they're doing this to our communities. I mean, they're just ripping things apart that we have spent time building and investing in over the years.
Well, we've had politicians doing that at the state level for some time as well. We're talking to Jill Underley, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction. And you focused on that, about pulling resources away from our public schools in order to fund the, you know, the private voucher scheme that's going on and is taking up, you know, it's getting mighty close to a $1 billion price tag that I still think plenty of taxpayers around Wisconsin don't know about. What they know is that there are these referendums. All the time, these referendums, and you have some politicians that are painting the school districts as being greedy and having to raise taxes. And it feels like you're the one connecting the dots, saying there's a reason for these referendums, and it's not any kind of selfishness on the part of your local school board.
Yeah, I think people are starting to put it together. I mean, because the money is, you know, the money that the legislature puts in every year, you know, it is pie. I mean, if you want to think about it that way, it's just that the piece of the pie that goes to privatization just keeps getting larger. So therefore, even though the money might appear that, you know, the legislature is putting more money in every year, it's just that the portion that goes to our public school districts is getting smaller. And I do feel people are putting it together. I'm seeing a lot of signs of hope, you know, like, for example, like in the Green Bay area, they were able to put it on their tax bills, you know, how much money was going to private schools from their tax, from their property tax. So, I mean, I know people want this information on there. And my hope is that, you know, in the next few years, if the legislature is able to, you know, get more gains with more public school advocates in the legislature, that this will be on everybody's tax bill. It's just, transparency is so important in government. And I do see some signs of hope there.
As we talk about moving from the, you know, the 30,000 foot level of federal funds and state funds into the classroom itself, current practices, technology, teaching methods, everything else. When you look at that part of the state of education in Wisconsin, are there things there that need particular investment, that need more of a focus than they've been getting these days, where Wisconsin kids might risk falling behind if we're not funding, you know, something to its proper level, or not keeping our teachers trained or anything like that? Where are those opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. So as you're probably aware, but maybe your listeners are not, we did undergo a strategic planning process over the past couple of years, and we listened to people throughout Wisconsin about what they want in their public schools. And so we came up with four different pillars, and the one that I'll talk about right now, I mean, is the innovative education. We really need to start preparing kids for their future and not our past. I mean, when you think about how school is done, in many ways, it's still done the same way as it was 50 to 100 years ago. And so we really need to start looking at innovation. We need to look at how we're able to meet students where they are and where they're going to go. I mean, technology is moving so fast right now, you know, and we need to expand, you know, personalized learning and competency-based learning in our schools. We need to use career pathways to our advantage. We need to improve access to learning opportunities and library resources. And our goal is to prepare kids for their future. We're also looking at educator recruitment and retention. We know that the number one indicator of a child's success in school at, you know, when they're in the school is their the quality of their teacher. And when we have, you know, this turnover with our teachers, when we are struggling to fill high need areas like math and science and global languages and special education, that's hurting kids. And that's hurting our future, you know, not just our economy, but I mean, just these humans, you know, their future. So we have to really look at and agree that strong schools need strong educators. And we know that we need to expand access to grow your own programs. We need to improve teacher compensation, mentorship, professional development. But going back to the federal aspect, this is an area that they are really leaning in on cutting funding for is our educator workforce.
It also sounds like people in the legislature, certain folks have wanted to stress standardized tests and the method of scoring and tracking that. There's been some back and forth in the legislature about that. How would you describe the current standardization test and grading process? Are there still changes that need to be made compared to where we are right now?
Yeah, I think that was the interesting criticism, I think, about my state of education. You know, is just that the speech was about, you know, belonging and community pride and the things that we need to do to make our schools stronger. And the opposition or the people who criticize it really are like, well, you know, she's just lowering standards. The thing is, it's like the test is just a one point in time. And it's always undergoing review. When you look at our standards are updated every 7 years, and it's not the same ones every year. So it's like, you know, math is done 1 year, literacy is another year, science is another year. And so it's like the test is constantly undergoing changes. And so you do have to update the metrics. And so it's, you know, that's one piece of it. But then the other piece of it is our school report card, our school and district report cards, which were put into place 15 years ago, and they're in state statute as far as what, you know, is measured. And so we did look at that for the first time in 15 years, and just to make sure that things are on track. It's kind of like when your computer undergoes an update, it always seems like, oh, it's at the worst time, or your phone has to download an update. But that's what we did with the state and district report cards. It's like it was due to get an update and just make sure everything was aligned. But again, it's just one piece of information. We've got lots of other indicators, you know, of the health, I suppose, of our public schools.
And finally, you were recently elected to a second four-year term. There's going to be a change in the governor's office one way or another, a brand new governor. We won't know the makeup of the legislature, but with you being freshly elected, you're certainly positioned to be the most, I guess, fearless advocate is the right way. You've got the job security, essentially. How do you see your role over the next 4 years, the public-facing part of your role?
Look, I have never shied away from saying what I need to say or what needs to be said when it comes to public schools. I mean, that's always been my, you know, I guess just one of my characteristics, right? And so what I'm going to continue to do is just continue to advocate for public schools. I'm going to continue to advocate for the things that I know work. You know, when we look at child development and we look at success academically, I mean, I talked about, you know, teachers and them being the number one indicator for academic success, but there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, school nutrition, making sure kids have access to mental health, but also health, medical health as well, and dental health too. And we also need to just continue to modernize our public education system. So I'm going to continue to speak out in favor of all of those.
Dr. Jill Underley, we've run out of time, but it was so nice to hear all about the state of education. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Much more in the 8 o'clock hour ahead of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Morning. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
At the end of the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have the John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy discuss Tom Homan, the former acting director of ICE. Gordy kind of mocks Tom Homan's voice by doing an over-the-top impression of him, comparing his voice to that of a professional wrestler. They both found it particularly funny when Homan, in his passionate defense, began referring to himself in the third person. So listen, and let me know what you think.
John and Gordy in the morning. WMDX, the age of stupid. As we continue Idiocracy here on the program.
652, cloudy skies today. Maybe a little bit of sunshine peeking through once in a while, but cooler. High of just 73, right now 61. Okay.
All right, let's finish off the Homan story. This is just fantastic. So, Borders are Tom Homan took some money. $50,000.
Yes,
and to Laura help people get jobs concerning the border.
Mm-hmm. And Laura Ingraham interviewed Tom Homan about all this $50,000 cash that he took.
It's caught on audio tape.
Yeah.
So it happened, and he wasn't initially a person of interest. Another person of interest referred him, saying, "Hey, you go to this Homan guy.
Check this guy out." Let's listen to Laura Ingraham's take on this with Tom Homan.
All right.
And they said that
You took $50,000 in cash in a bag from an undercover FBI agent to help them win government contracts in Trump's second term. The DOJ said they concluded there was no criminal wrongdoing, but nevertheless, that story is out there, and I imagine you want to respond to that.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I did nothing criminal. I did nothing illegal. And there's hit piece after hit piece after hit piece.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the FBI and DOJ came out and said, and you know, said that nothing illegal happened.
Because
nothing,
you can trust them now.
No criminal activity. You're talking about a guy spent 34 years enforcing the law. I mean, I left a very successful business that I ran to come back and work for a government again. I'm back on a government paycheck.
Okay.
Not only did I sacrifice my my family sacrifices.
Yeah.
I make sacrifices every day. I got more death threats than anybody. I got a security team around me, but guess what? My kids don't. My wife don't. I mean, I haven't lived with my wife in months because I don't want her
problem.
To be here right now with all the threats. So after all the sacrifices, after serving my nation all these years, they want to come out and dirty me up. And it's not going to end. There's a hit piece on me every 2 weeks. But keep coming, because you know what? Tom Homan isn't going anywhere. Tom Homan isn't shutting up. And Tom Homan's going to keep doing what he's doing, because working with President Trump's the greatest honor of my life.
Okay.
We're making this country safer again every day, and we're going to keep doing it.
Sounds like a professional wrestling discussion.
Hit the music. Hit the music. You know, this guy's straight out of, what do you call it, central casting.
Yes.
You know?
I got more death threats than anybody. I got security around me, but guess what? My kids don't. My wife don't. I live with my wife in months, so I don't want her to be here with all the threats. I got to sacrifice. Yeah. Tom Homan isn't going anywhere. Tom Homan is not shutting up. Tom Homan's going to keep doing it. I love it when they go third person. You know, talking about themselves. Yeah.
They called Elliot Ness.
Yeah. We're making this country safe again.
Oh, my God.
What happened to the 50 grand?
Yeah.
What happened? Is it still in a bag in his closet?
That's right. He took it. He did take it.
Yeah.
And,
did he give it back?
And he has a business that provides jobs for border security. So when he took the $50,000, it was right up his alley. I mean, that's his business, not maybe taking bribes. But maybe it is.
But
maybe taking bribes is something part of his big business there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a thug, huh? Yeah, that was good.
Well, he was on with Bill Maher, too, and I haven't seen I got to go back and look at that clip. But he's making the rounds.
Discussing the 50,000?
Well, we'll have to do some digging.
Amazing stuff, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I got something here. Let me see. 58. Remember the story about, I don't want to do that yet. How about this? Remember, or not remember, have you read the fact that politicians in Congress are worried about their safety now? They're getting a lot of threats, death threats, because what happened to Charlie Kirk, and now everybody's starting to worry about their own safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, wait a minute here. What about our safety? What about the American people's safety?
Yeah.
These guys are worried about their safety and being threatened and all that kind of stuff. We have to worry about being in crowds. We have to worry about being in movie theaters. We have to worry about our kids in school. We have a lot of worries about gun problems in this country, and yet our Congress is taking an interest in maybe protecting themselves after spreading guns nationwide and not doing a damn thing about it. Mm. House Republicans are proposing a $30 million safety fund that they can dip into and, you know, do something for their homes, have security around them, but not the American people. That's the part that really rubs me wrong. Incredibly, Wisconsin Republicans have withheld paying for additional police in Milwaukee for ages, for decades, because they don't like Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So they don't let Milwaukee protect themselves with an expanded police force. And that's why there's crime in Milwaukee. This is all created by Republicans not doing anything about the gun problem and increasing funding for police in all the big cities in the country.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
And it's not changing.
No, it's not changing.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you know, it's just irritating. It really is.
Coming up in our next hour, well, gosh, we're just a few minutes away from revealing our next keyword in the Go for the Green and Gold contest.
There's a certain level of excitement in the studio.
Yes, tension is building. And, you know, you could win $200 cash plus gold jewelry. And when we reveal the keyword, we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Also, that puts you in for the grand prize drawing of indoor club-level tickets to the Green Bay versus Minnesota game coming up in November. That's coming up. And also, we're going to talk to Jim and Sarah, our friends from the Madison Hearing Aid Center. Get an update from them. That's coming up.
I think you should talk to them like a mobster and see what their reaction is.
Jim, Sarah, you got to work with me. Come on.
Let's go.
Come on. Do something for me, huh? I did something for you. Come
I'm
on.
I'm scared now.
Okay.
It is 6:59 news straight ahead.
That's
then
right.
Back with more of John and Gordy in the morning.
The big story's coming up.
WMDX. Yeah.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.u. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he hopes to announce the release of all hostages from Gaza in the coming days. It's after Hamas said it has agreed to parts of a peace plan that President Trump outlined earlier this week. CBS's Christian Benavidas.
Smoke could be seen rising from Gaza this morning, but there is newfound hope on both sides that there could soon be an end to the war between Israel and Hamas after the two agreed to parts of a deal brokered by President Trump.
I think it's a really good sign of the whole situation.
It's happy news. It saves those who are still alive. This is enough. We are tired, this man living in Gaza said.
The Trump administration plans to federalize 300 members of the Illinois National Guard. That's according to Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, who calls the move absolutely outrageous and un-American. The escalation follows similar crackdowns.